Welcome to this fourth podcast covering Stena Polaris' voyage through the Northern Sea Route on her way to South Korea. By my side, I have Marcus Lindbom, who is Global Operations Manager at Stena Bulk. Marcus, Stena Polaris is now carrying 44,000 tons of naphtha. Is there a type of cargo that is more suited to be shipped through this route?
We've seen different types of cargo being carried both from west to east and from east to west through the Northern Sea Route. If we look at the petroleum products, so to speak, we mostly seen a type of cargoes like naphtha, gas condensate, and that is mainly because they're sourced up in the area of Norway, northern Russia, in the Murmansk area. And therefore, the benefit of the shorter route is even greater than, of course, for transporting to Korea, Japan, or the area around.
What could be the cargo when she reverses, if she would go the Northern Sea Route?
It's been different types of cargoes going east to west as well. A likely cargo could be gas oil, for example, a refined product like gas oil or jet fuel.
I must admit, I'm not sure exactly what naphtha is. Is it a liquid or is it a gas?
It's a very light petroleum product. In the refinery, this would be one of the lighter fractions, sort of above gasoline. It's an even lighter product, more of the spirit type of kind almost.
When transporting goods through these waters, the vessels are, of course, exposed to a number of risks. And IMO, the International Maritime Organization, they have developed something called the Polar Code. Tell us about that.
That is correct. This has been worked on for years now, actually. There's been different sort of countries chairing this project as well. And today I believe it's Norway is heading this up. This is to set a certain base requirement for the operations up in Arctic. Today, there is none really, no specific requirements for the operations up there in this environment. There are guidelines, but there is no requirements. If we look at our ship, the Stena Polaris, the other type of ships we have and the way we operate them, we are already over and beyond this. We're following the guidelines that are set, and we're doing or working already sort of ahead where they stand with the work on the Polar Code today. But at the same time, it would of course be good, we believe as well, to have a certain set of requirements to make sure that every ship owner's operating ship out there do that in a safe way.
So you would like to put forward to make this mandatory in the future?
Yes, there is sort of a gap in the legislation and the requirements today, and it'd be very nice to fill that on an international sort of platform, yes.
Do you think it will happen?
It's taking quite a long time to get where we are today with developing this code. A lot of back and forth and also politics involved, but I believe so. We'll get there, definitely.
All right. Earlier, I spoke with Carl-Johan Hagman, CEO of Stena Shipping, Drilling and Ferries, and I asked him to give us his view of this transit. Marcus, this is the first in a series of deliveries to Hyundai Glovis. Have you already planned to do this route next summer as well, or when is the schedule set?
It may very well happen. We don't have a specific cargo set for a tanker yet with Hyundai Glovis again. It's sort of a knowledge and transfer here from Stena to Hyundai and Glovis within the feel and experience of operating in Arctic and harsh environments, most specifically. But it's also a general sort of cooperation between these two companies and also the two countries, between Sweden and South Korea.
If everything goes well, the Northern Sea Route should be about 1.5 to 2 weeks faster than the standard route via the Suez Canal. How big of a saving are we talking about in terms of money?
Well, for a medium-sized tanker like the Stena Polaris, the fuel that we'll save by passing through the Northern Sea Route instead of all the way through Suez in south, that is about 450 tons of fuel which equals about $300,000, which then is about 2 million Swedish crowns. If you add on the cost of time, so to speak, or the saving on the same, in total, we are around $500,000 and 3.5 million Swedish crowns. So it's a considerable amount of money saved by proceeding this shorter route. And of course, also if you look at the carbon footprint of carrying cargo this way rather than the longer one.
So it's one half is for fuel, and the other half is because you can put the ship back in action faster than it would if it took the longer route.
That is correct. That's correct.
Earlier, I had a discussion with Lars Danielsson, Sweden's ambassador in South Korea, and asked him about his view on this cooperation with South Korea. Lars Danielsson, Sweden's ambassador in South Korea, welcome to this program and thank you for joining us from Seoul.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure.
I would say that South Korea is pretty unknown to many Swedes. Do the people in South Korea have any history or relation to Sweden?
Absolutely. One thing that has struck me being Swedish ambassador here is that the amount of knowledge about our country is surprisingly high. Partly, I think, it stems from the fact that Sweden was assisting South Korea during the Korean War with a field hospital, and thus created also in many respects the foundation for modern Korean healthcare. So to say, the outlook on Sweden is, for historical reasons, very positive. But there is also a great interest about Swedish society and not least Swedish companies. The fact that we can combine some very competitive companies with a rather comprehensive welfare state is something which is really has created a lot of interest in this country.
You've been working there since 2011. How would you describe the present business climate in South Korea?
I think if we look at Korea, it's in a constant process of development, a constant process of opening up, a constant process of globalization. I mean, this has historically been a rather closed society, and still there are some sort of remnants of that still when foreign businesses want to come here. But there has been a very determined policy from successive governments in Korea to open up the country, to open up the economy. They have signed a number of free trade agreements with all parts of the world, including with the European Union, and thus also with Sweden, and they are constantly trying to improve the business climate. So if you look at from the strictly legal and formal perspective, this is a very open country. Then there are still some what I will sometimes call cultural relics, which makes foreigners sometimes think it's still a little bit difficult, but that is rapidly changing. You know, Korea is a very modern economy these days, with some of the best known brand names in the world, Samsung and Hyundai and Kia. And of course, this also means that the business climate is becoming more and more international for every day, every week, every month.
Could you give us an example? What does Sweden do today in Korea, and what can we in Scandinavia do to create a long-term relation with Korea?
Well, I think we can do many things. I think the most important thing is that more and more Swedish companies start to operate here. We already today have some 80, 90 Swedish companies operating in various ways in South Korea. Some of them are making very good money, some of them still have some problems, but I think that is probably our most important contribution, not only to Korea, but also to ourselves, and that is to increase the economic relations between our two countries. That is extremely difficult. Mm. Then there is also a very, very strong interest in our way of constructing the Swedish society. You know, Korea, being now a rather developed market economy, they are now encountering some of the same problems that we've encountered in Sweden, and where we have been relatively successful. For example, enabling women to work to a bigger extent on the labor market, trying to construct a society where it's easier to combine family life and working life and so forth. And also these days, there is a lot of interest in the fact that Sweden is perceived as a very innovative country, a very creative country. If you look at the indexes and ranking lists that you see globally on what countries are best in innovation and so forth, Sweden ranks pretty high, and this is very much noted in this country. So I think there are a number of issues that we can, you know, that we can do together and that we can cooperate. In addition, there is a very surprisingly strong interest in Swedish culture. you know, Swedish films, Swedish books, Swedish music. Everything is very, very, very popular here. They know all about the Swedish groups that I've never heard of myself. So there's a very, very, very strong interest about Sweden. Surprisingly strong, given the fact that we're a country very far away from South Korea and relatively small with only 9.5 million people.
Okay. The Stena Polaris Voyage is not only a matter between two companies, the Stena and Hyundai Glovis, but it's also the South Korean government is also very much involved. What can you tell us about that?
The South Korean government has expressed a very, very strong interest in issues relating to the Arctic and the Arctic Circle, and they are now, since May this year, also observers in the Arctic Council. And of course, Korea being a very strong shipbuilding and seafaring nation, and being located in the northeast of Asia, of course, they, from a strategic and business point of view, see great merit, of course, in opening up a new sea route to the north of Russia through the Arctic Sea. That is something, of course, which also for the government is an extremely important issue. So this undertaking that you are doing right now, that Stena is doing right now, creates very, very strong interest here. I hear a lot of comments on the streets about it, and from politicians and others who think that this is really a new chapter for Korea also, because it points to a future which economically may be very, very interesting for this country.
And you think this joint venture will have future, would make future cooperations easier between our countries?
I certainly hope so. I think it's very important to point at what I call potential success stories. For many companies, Swedish companies that do want to do things in Korea, to find a good Korean partner is of very, very big importance. And I think this, to me, is what Stena has done here. With Hyundai Glovis, it's, you know, they've really found a very good, strong partner. And I think that sort of shows the way also for other companies, that you can sort of combine knowledge from two parts of the world. And of course, when we're talking about shipping, this is, of course, the most logical thing in the world, that you have sort of, say, some sort of joint undertaking to achieve good results. So I have great hopes for what Stena can do with Hyundai Glovis and with others in the future. I think that it'll be very interesting to follow in the coming years.
And from an overall perspective, what would you say is the Swedish strong points in competition with other countries, for example, in Europe, when dealing or having cooperations with the South Korean companies?
Well, I think that, you know, Sweden has, in my mind, to a very large extent, our prosperity stems to a large extent from the fact that we have been rather good at understanding global changes, and we've also understand how we can benefit from them. We've also understood that in order to be a continuously prosperous country, you have to be open to the outside world. You should not be afraid of changes. And this is, I think, the kind of thinking that Korea very much wants to have also in its own way of thinking and dealing with things. We see a lot of it already here, but I think this is why Korea, to some extent, tried to get inspiration from Sweden, from Swedish government, from Swedish business, is this thinking that nothing is impossible, don't be afraid of changes, take the challenge and try to do something good of it. This is what Swedish companies have been very good at. This is, to some extent, what Korean companies also have been very good at. So I think the sort of the potential marriage between Sweden and Korea, between Swedish and Korean businesses, has every opportunity to be a very, very successful marriage.
Lars Danielsson, Sweden's ambassador in South Korea, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Marcus, Lars Danielsson said this could be the start of something bigger when it comes to the cooperation between Scandinavia and South Korea. What can Stena do to ensure that you are on the front row here?
Well, we already made headway, so to speak, by the project we're involved in now, which more specifically is the knowledge transfer of operating in Arctic waters and in ice-covered waters. We, of course, see great opportunities also in contributing on the shipping side in large. Stena is a very diversified company and we are in many different type of businesses. But I think the main contribution here would be within shipping. And that it could be shipping of passengers, dry cargo, liquid cargo, or natural gas. South Korea is one of the biggest consumers of natural gas in the world, actually, and we have ships transporting that as well, and a great knowledge and know-how about that as well. We're operating ferry lines out of South Korea already, so there is in many different ways a lot of things that we could contribute with.
Tell me about the arrival here. Have you a date that you expect her to arrive that you can say with some certainty?
We are expecting the ship to arrive Yeosu in South Korea 22nd of October. There's a bit of a harsh weather, and it will be tough weather passing down there, but we believe she'll be there in time. And I think it'd be a very warm welcome. There's a lot of people wanting to see the ship and excited about her arrival to South Korea.
So it will be not that she would just go into to the harbor, it will be a more of an official welcome?
Yes, definitely. There's a huge interest in South Korea about this project as such and about the ships coming into South Korea. So there'll probably be representatives from the governments, ministers, welcoming the ship. So it'll be quite a big thing, yeah, once you get there.
Will you be among the visitors?
I'll actually stay behind, stay in Sweden and at our office in Gothenburg to coordinate things from here.
All right. Thank you, Marcus. It's time to end this podcast covering the voyage of Stena Polaris through the Northern Sea Route. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.